The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 178 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, and we have a lot of them in Harrisburg, you're going to hear. And as you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we focus on one or more of four groups of people. You, them, us, and or me. The You segment is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. For the You segment of today's show, we have a rebuttal on guns from our resident leftist Bernie McCann, who was our guest recently, a couple episodes ago. After that comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, and today I'm going to be ranting about some of the latest shenanigans coming out of Harrisburg, and there are too many of them, but that's okay. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we feature a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag. It's a role that we call cohort, and today's cohort is making his sixth appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. He is distinguished Toastmaster Chris Hulse, a member of I'm not sure how many clubs now. We were talking about it before. And he's also the District 38 Club Growth Director, which is the third highest ranking officer in the district. It's an honor to have you back, Chris.
Thank you very much, Ken. I'm excited to be here again.
Yeah, you sound excited.
Well, it's been a long day, and I think we've discussed it on earlier episodes. I drive down from Wilkes-Barre, so it's a long two-hour drive. Uh-huh. It's not a bad drive until you get to the Schuylkill, or what they call it, the Schuylkill.
Schuylkill, yeah.
Expressway, and then that's the... And I also don't have AC in my car, so... But I come down because I really enjoy being on your show, uh-huh. And so I'll try to kick up the beat a little bit.
And I can commiserate with you because yesterday... At this very time, I arrived in Clark Summit because we were driving our daughter. She lives in Syracuse.
Okay.
We were driving her halfway home, and her husband came down to pick her up. Uh-huh. We were going to get a pizza from Dino and Francesco's.
Oh, I know exactly where that is.
Right underneath.
Great pizza.
Great pizza. Good garlic and everything. They're closed on Wednesdays.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
Ah!
Yeah, that's the thing with restaurants is they all want a day off, and so they usually do it on Wednesday. No, never Wednesday. Usually Mondays.
Uh-huh. Now, you've been around for a long time, man. I checked back. Your first episode was episode 50.
Wow.
And we're on, what, 178 now?
Yeah.
And I really liked that episode because that was the first episode where I really dug into the pandemic. This is right when it started. This is in March.
It was. And I remember Montgomery County had just basically gone into lockdown. And uh-huh. I know we were all questioning about, okay, well, what does lockdown mean? Are they going to, like, are we going to go drive down the street and not be able to go into a town where, like, maybe our loved ones live? Everybody was not sure what this lockdown was going to mean.
All I know, since I'm in broadcasting, I was exempt from all the rules.
Oh, I did not know that was a...
And, you know,
was a thing.
And one of the times we drove up to Dino and Francesco's up in Clark Summit there, top of the turnpike, to get a pizza just to support the people that we like. It was a good time.
And one thing I'll say is I remember leaving the state, and I was seriously afraid that at the state line, are they gonna check? Are they gonna, you know, do a COVID test? I just was like, what is this turning into?
Turning into a totalitarian state.
Yes, yes.
You know, our guest last episode, Caroline Avery, who's running for Congress, she spoke about that, on her website. It's called Medical Tyranny or something like that. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I used to do? People coming on the show here, I would write them a hall pass. Right? Since I'm exempt from these things, I would just say, oh, they're coming on the show. They're necessary to be here. Something they could show to law enforcement officers.
Yes.
And I had footnoted the Pennsylvania regulations saying that broadcasters are allowed to be out, and Jersey both.
Oh, so that's why if they're on the news and the flood is like coming within 6 feet of them, they're allowed to be out
there.
They're
allowed to be out there.
Because they're showing the public this is what's happening.
And same thing. When you're presenting a libertarian message, well, you know, that's very important. You got to do that. I know. Well, enough of this. Well, Chris, one of our ancient customs here is I've been asking each cohort to bring along a question to hit me with cold so I can keep my skill level up. And just wondering what you got.
Well, so anybody that is a longtime listener of the show knows you're opinionated. I'm sure that's no surprise to you.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But that makes Ken Krawchuk who he is. So one thing when I was driving down here, I was thinking to myself, you know, what's an opinion that Ken Krawchuk, I'm talking to you like you're like in third person, what's an opinion that you hold that would surprise most people that know you? What's an opinion that would surprise most people that know you? See, I'm acting like a Toastmaster. I'm repeating the question. You know.
Wow. I guess you may have to repeat it two or three more times because I don't think people are surprised at all by anything I do. I thought of one right away, but I can't mention it in public.
Okay.
What would these be surprised?
There
you go.
Okay.
There's a good one. And my wife laughs at me when I says, I'm a shy guy.
Okay.
I'm a very shy guy. I very private person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an INTJ. If you do Myers-Briggs, or whatever it is this week. So I'm a quiet internal guy who just sits in the corner and likes to watch. I like to maintain a low profile. And when I tell that to people, like, yeah, right. And in Toastmasters, when I tell them, I used to get asthma attacks when I tried to speak in public. They're like, yeah, right, Ken. You know, you got a radio show. You've run for governor. You've done all this stuff. Nobody believes me when I tell them that, but it's true. I'm a very private person.
I am always impressed when people come out of their comfort zone. And like you said, I think Toastmasters, and sometimes not even Toastmasters, sometimes it's getting a leadership role or, you know, doing whatever they do as a career. But, yeah, for whatever reason, people end up being shy. It is a hard corner to get out of. So when you mentioned that, yeah, I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that you have done things in your life, run for governor, you know, have a radio show, and really put yourself out there because that's complete opposite of what you, the way you feel inside.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a way to, I'm sure at some point in your life, you didn't want to be shy. And so this is your kind of, this is your way of working out of it.
I like being shy.
You like being shy?
I like observing. I like to sit back. Yeah.
You're a well-rounded person.
What? I haven't put on that much weight. I'm getting sorry, you know.
No, I'm more the well-rounded person, but I'm trying to change that too. But that's interesting. And you know what? I'm sure a lot of listeners out there are probably, hopefully they didn't get so shocked they drove into a ditch, but you know, yes. that is something that I think probably surprised a lot of people. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thanks for the question. Speaking of questions, we got one from our resident leftist. He was our guest on episode 175, and now he's coming back.
Yes, Bernie McCann from Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
Nice place.
And so his little comment with a question in there for you. So he starts out saying, I want to rebut your comments from the Lott CDC study from episode 175. For starters, the study has little to do with assault weapons, and as you know, these types of government studies are notorious for being peppered with institutional bias.
Good word, peppered.
Peppered. Dr. John Lott's county-level study was basically a maintenance job on a botched 2015 CDC report that incorrectly showed the incidence of gun violence had risen by an astonishing 25% in 1 year. I think you were trying to avoid the 50 rounds a minute discussion, and so you came up with a study that deals mostly with handguns. It sounds a little bit more like a, I don't know if I want to say an accusation, but I guess that's your chance to rebut Bernie back about what he's saying.
That's true.
About
our resident leftist Bernie weighing back in on the gun issue. In case you missed it, he was our guest recently in episode 175, and among the topics we discussed was gun control, and it sounds like he wasn't too happy with how it all came out. First of all, Bernie, John Lott's study first came out 20 years ago, so it's not some maintenance job on a 2015 CDC report, botched or otherwise. And I don't know that report, so I can't comment on it. But from your pejorative description, I assume you don't agree with its conclusions? I don't know. Well, the same sort of disbelief happened when President Obama commissioned the CDC to do a study on gun violence. And they found there's no evidence that gun restrictions reduce gun violence, no evidence that passage of right to carry laws decrease or increase violent crime. Gun turning programs are ineffective, they found. And best of all, they concluded that the best way to defend yourself is with a gun. So, Bernie, complain all you want about the CDC, but the fact is they agree with me. As for avoiding the discussion of 50 round a minute guns, I thought we covered that one pretty well. But Professor Lott's study did indeed go beyond handguns. And I recommend you read his book. It's titled More Guns, Less Crime by John Lott. And he proves that it's true regardless of the kind of gun. But Bernie, I think you keep dodging the central issue because it's not gun ownership. It's not only about defending yourself. It's about defending others as well. Your family, your neighborhood, your country. It could be during a natural disaster, an invasion of your neighborhood by thugs, breakdown in services, government services. We went into all that back in episode 175. But one thing we didn't discuss was your assertion that the Second Amendment was written before there were automatic weapons and therefore does not apply today. Not true, sir. There were several automatic weapons already in existence over 100 years before the Constitution was written. And I went and looked. You a gun guy, Chris?
I personally am not, but I have family members that are, so I respect.
Uh-huh. Well, this whole thing saying, well, they didn't have, you know, AR-15s back in 1776. Well, they did. They include the Puckle gun, P-U-C-K-L-E, which was patented in 1718. It fires three times faster than a musket. That's the sort of thing you'd want to have in a fight.
Definitely.
Then there was also the, I'm going to mispronounce it, Kalthoff repeater, K-A-L-T-H-O-F-F repeater. It was designed in 1630, Bernie. It was a flintlock rifle that could fire between 30 and 60 rounds per minute and 29 shots without reloading. That's similar to what you get the standard magazine capacity on today's AR-15.
Wow.
So, Bernie, they already had that. And there's also the Cookson repeater. That was in the late 1600s, based on the Lorenzoni system, which was designed 100 years earlier. It used a rotating gun magazine and had a 14-shot capacity. And I found other ones, too. Bernie, I can go on and on and on, but the bottom line here is that you can stop saying such firepower did not exist when the Second Amendment was written, because it's simply not true. And let me end all this by saying that your gun phobia does not address the basic legal issue at the heart of the matter. The Pennsylvania Constitution says, and I quote, the right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves in the state shall not be questioned. So, Bernie, knock off the questions. What do you think, Chris? Am I off base here? Is Bernie off base? Who's the one who should be rethinking?
Well, I'm going to look at it from a different angle. I mean, you know, he's bringing up points that basically back up his point. And, you know, I mean, and to me, when you are forming an opinion, like, I didn't know about all these guns, you know, being available, or even the technology, because I'm sitting here thinking
1600s.
And obviously the technology was different, but, you know, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. You know, and back then our country was in its formative years. We needed to defend ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And so obviously we went out and made technology that was going to, you know, back us up and make us win the fight. And yeah, it's interesting. And I kind of like, I know our guest was that your last episode was, I find even at the age that I am, my opinion is still forming itself. And it changes.
And it should.
It should. Because I feel like I always want to have an open mind. You know, if somebody brings facts to me, it's also up to me to go confirm those facts and then form an opinion about it.
Right.
One thing that it bothers me is when people hear one side of it and then they only follow that side. Because there are two sides of it.
You know? At least.
Yeah, to me, you got to do your own research.
Yep.
And then form an opinion. But the other thing I know is a big thing is, especially with, you know, well, correct me if I'm wrong with libertarians is, you know, don't attack people who hold a certain opinion. You can present the facts. You can present the facts to them, but ultimately, we all have our own brains and we're entitled to our opinion. Yeah. I don't like getting attacked for my opinion.
It took me 2 years to embrace libertarian philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I used to think that nationalized healthcare was a good idea. My brother in the VA talked talk me out of that one. I don't know. We can go on and on and on. All sounds good. Let's hope that puts Bernie in his place.
We'll see.
I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk, and you're listening to episode 178 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, I'll be ranting about some of the shenanigans going on in Harrisburg.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we change those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions, so we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters, and now I have my own radio show. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention that you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Meh, could be better.
Why, what's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figure out all the tax laws and filling out those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes, all the forms?
Yep, one call does it all. And they get passed along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 178 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Specifically, I want to rant about some of the shenanigans going on in Harrisburg these days. Well, let's start with the first crazy item out of the town. The Pennsylvania Superior Court recently ruled that license plate frames are illegal and can be used as an excuse for a cop to pull you over. Excuse me. The reasoning comes from a section of the Pennsylvania Vehicle Code that prohibits license plates from being, quote, obscured in any manner. Well, in their ruling, three judges seized on that phrase and called it a catch-all meant to prohibit all obstructions of any part of the plate, even the paint around the border. Now, considering how many people have cute little frames around their plates, there are suddenly a lot of criminals out there inviting a cop to stop them. And I was driving over here tonight. I just started counting. Six out of six license plates had a frame around them. Oh, man. Think about how many of these frames exist. Car dealerships give them for free. My daughter says a flyer's frame. Hilarious frames. All host of topics. And everyone is illegal. Andy Hoover, the director of communications for the ACLU in Pennsylvania, said the decision was, quote, another flimsy excuse for police to pull people over, and we've repeatedly seen how routine traffic cops can escalate traffic stops, can escalate in tragic outcomes, especially for black and brown people. Too true, Andy. Well, here's another rantable item, House Bill 1369. What it does is opens up the primary election to anybody who's not a member of the two old parties. In other words, it allows independents and third-party voters to vote in one or the other of the two old party primaries. Well, this is a classic example of solving the wrong problem. Well, first off, somebody please tell me, why should we taxpayers pay for the beauty contests of the two old parties? You know, to my mind, the only responsibility for the government is to run a fair election, not run the beauty contest for private organizations. Rather than expanding the primary election to constituency of voters who aren't even members of the two old parties, the correct solution here is simply eliminate primaries entirely. Hey, we libertarians pay for our own candidate selection process. Why shouldn't everybody? Last time I looked, primaries cost the taxpayers $20 million each. And expanding the voter rolls will surely increase that cost, not to mention creating the unfairness of outsiders choosing candidates for the two old parties. Excuse me again. If you eliminate primaries, all those problems simply vanish. Oh, speaking of how the two old parties waste taxpayer dollars, did you hear the Pennsylvania Supreme Court recently threw themselves a lavish party to celebrate their 300th anniversary? According to SpotlightPA.org, the party was, quote, marked by catered luncheons and dinners, swanky hotel stays, a $1,500 cake, $37,000 a day buffet tables, and more. Total event cost, almost $150,000 of your money. And the worst part was, I wasn't invited to the party, and I helped pay for it.
I wasn't either.
Where's my invite? Here's an item I have a mixed feelings about. According to the Marshall Project, out of the 1,504 law enforcement agencies in Pennsylvania, not one of them submitted crime data to the FBI for all 12 months of 2021. Not one. And only 31 of them submitted anything at all. That puts Pennsylvania at the bottom of the list of states reporting crime data to the FBI. And like I said, I got mixed feelings about this. Yes, I do think it's a good idea to keep tabs on crime, but not necessarily at the national level. It's a local issue, huh? And I have other issues with such a database. For example, what do they consider a crime? Does it include arrests of pot smokers? That's not a crime. But if it gets reported, politicians will jump on it. Only because it's another arrest, bumps the number up by one, even though it's not a crime. And also, these statistics are continually warped. This is a good one for Bernie. A classic example is the number of children killed by guns. But the key question is, what constitutes a child? Most of these studies say that if you're under 18 or under 21, you're a child, right? But the implication is that, oh, it's three-year-olds getting shot. Well, the reality is that many of these quote-unquote children are actually young adults, many of whom are already fighting in overseas useless wars, killing and being killed by other quote-unquote children. And segueing here, many of these so-called children die as a result of the insane war on drugs, but I digress. Another reason I have qualms about crime reporting is the cost. The FBI repeatedly updates their methodology for crime reporting, and each time they do so, more costs are involved, such as the obvious cost of training people how to report those new crimes, or the hidden cost of a cop having to do even more paperwork. Admittedly, the upgraded reporting systems recommended by the FBI, they do capture more crimes. But that means all the numbers will go up, 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 and then that will be seen as yet another crisis du jour requiring even more tax dollars to solve a problem that doesn't even exist. Oh, man. There are so many other shenanigans going on in Harrisburg, such as all this latest nonsense over that non-crisis known as monkeypox. You know, I went and looked. Do you know how many people have died of monkeypox?
Probably a fairly low number.
Guess.
And are we talking about in Pennsylvania?
Overall.
Overall, maybe 200.
You're off by 199. According to Wikipedia, there's been one death.
That's it.
Maybe Wikipedia is wrong. I don't know.
So again, we're making other people money. We're making other companies who create the vaccine rich.
All right.
By doing this.
And that's, you know what? I'm going to save that rant for another one, the monkeypox rant. Bottom line here is that if you want to help slow down the growth of government, the best action to all the shenanigans is to vote libertarian. On that panacea note, that's going to wrap it up for episode 178 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about the shenanigans in Harrisburg? Or citizens wielding automatic riflery? Or teaching the Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids? Or anything somewhat Pennsylvania related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com, right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there, too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live at the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m., among other times. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster is Stephen Worley. Our featured Toastmaster cohort is distinguished Toastmaster Chris Hulse. Official bartender is Tom Kehoe. Keyboard wizard is Joe the Pag. Radio producer is Wes Wagner. And me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, hopefully without having to get the FBI involved.